We welcome you to the Florida Blue Practice Fields 2014 training camp rolls along. This is Jaguars.com Live. JP Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Here's how you can get in the show: at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Jags this week, of course, we'll look through the Jaguars' first depth chart. It's a preseason depth chart. We'll see what that means. Getting ready for the Buccaneers on Friday as well. And, of course, the camp battles continue. Biggest news, John, so far of the day are the players that are back on the field. Jonathan Cyprian missed yesterday with a hip thing. Alan Hearns, the same hip flexor injury. Both are back out there today, and that's quite notable.
Well, and you didn't expect from the tone of Gus Bradley's comments about those guys yesterday for this to be long-term. But with a guy like Cyprian and with Hearns, with as many injuries as they have a receiver, it's good that he's back for this preseason game so that they have enough guys to get on the field. I expect him to start. I expect Marquise Lee to start. Jerry Sullivan just said Mike Brown will be in there as a factor in there. When they go to three wides, Marquise will move into the slot. So, you know, it's not vital that those guys are there for the first preseason game, but that, considering the injuries they have, that's not a bad group to start off with there.
I think yesterday there were, including Ace Sanders, five receivers injured or out yesterday.
We've said that a lot the last few months. I mean, and that's too bad, because there are guys, Allen Robinson particularly, who need work right now. And, you know, I don't think it's going to affect his entire career, certainly. But for right now, getting ready for that September, you would like to see Allen Robinson out there. Not ideal.
There's only so many times we can say that, though. Remember the narrative in OTAs and the rookie camp was, oh, he'll be back as long as he's back for training camp.
Right.
That's okay.
Well, that's what I kept saying was, if he got back for training camp, which I think you're seeing out of Marquise Lee, they were both out, right? Well, Marquise Lee's back. Jerry Sullivan said today, you know, he's learning. He's showing all those great physical things that you knew when you drafted him. And he's getting there in terms of knowing how to run routes the way Jerry wants. Allen Robinson, not getting that on-field work right now. It's not fair to say that none of this is hurting him. At some point, it would be much better if he was on the field to get ready for September. Again, I think in the long run, he's going to be fine. For getting ready for right now, not ideal.
And a chance for the younger wide receivers, a guy like Slaughter, Lamar Thomas, to get some work that they might not normally get early in the game, at least.
Kerry Taylor, too. And, again, it was interesting today to hear Jerry talk about Mike Brown. And we've all seen Mike Brown for a couple of years. And I wrote a couple of weeks ago, somebody asked me, how's Mike Brown doing? Well, if you've watched this team for 2 years, you probably know how Mike Brown's doing.
Yeah.
He's doing very well, very consistent, always where he's supposed to be, always playing within himself. You always write that Mike Brown's going to be a hard guy to cut because he wasn't drafted. He's not a guy who you automatically put him on the top three or four receivers on a team. Yet he's always there, always available. And from listening to Jerry this morning, you know what? Mike Brown's going to be hard to cut again. That's good for him.
It's an amazing story, really.
Really,
the guy was undrafted, was a quarterback in college, undrafted, just has found a way to stick
around. Beyond that, came in as a tryout guy.
Absolutely.
He wasn't a guy who was even signed in that first round. So he wasn't even in the next 20 or 25 guys that they wanted.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, you talk about a guy who does everything right. And we'll talk about Mike a little bit because he's going to play a lot on Friday. A guy who does everything right and who has made himself into an NFL player. They always say, make it hard to cut you. He's accomplished that.
Jaguars.com Live, you're looking live at Stretch for the Jaguars on Wednesday. It's a helmets-only workout today, a little bit shorter than 2 hours is the schedule. They'll go through some preparation for Tampa Bay. Some team goal line work a little later. We'll go up until the teamwork begins. So we have another 20 minutes or so here, John.
And we talked a little just a second ago about Jonathan Cyprian. You know, Gus said yesterday they held him out. It was a very precautionary move. And that's something that gets questioned a lot by fans. When these guys aren't on the field, they say, whoa, why aren't these guys in the field? Why do you give veterans days off? Well, it's that kind of move yesterday that preserves these guys for the long haul. You don't want to wear these guys out. You don't want to wear them out physically. You don't want to wear out their soft tissue at this point in the season. So an example of if you had played Cyprian yesterday during practice and kept him going hard, maybe he's not available for the preseason. Maybe something sets him back. So an example of trying to be smart with these guys on August 6th when you want him to be there on December 15th.
I think Gus answered your question yesterday saying, yes, we have some flexibility this time of year when it comes to that.
Well, and they do that more and more throughout, you know, seasons now. You give guys a Wednesday off. It's not ideal, but you got to have guys for the long haul. You can't go out, you know, if you could go out and find another Jonathan Cyprian, you would probably have that guy on the roster already. So you've got to preserve, especially your guys that you know are going to be playing. And, you know, I get that people are uncomfortable with that. They think football should be all out all the time, two-a-day practices for, you know, 2 months out of the year. But this is the way to preserve a roster for the long haul.
Jaguars.com Live, J.P. Shadrick with John Osher, Brian Sexton coming up shortly. Let's get to this this depth chart. It's a preseason depth chart. It's the first one that's been released in the game release this week.
Rubber Band Man playing right now, J.P. I may be a little distracted. Okay. Rubber Band Man by the Spinners, I believe. But go ahead, depth chart.
It's a little before my time, I'll be honest with you.
There's a lot of things in my life that are before your time, unfortunately. I'm an old man. So.
Let's get to this depth chart. First one's always interesting. It sparks some commentary, and fans are saying, oh, this guy's second team. Why? What's going on? Do you make that much of this depth chart, and what are some surprises here?
A lot of them are sort of default mode. You know, there's guys that you know are there. You know they're going to be there. Interesting to me, special teams, you've got I'm drawing a blank. It was that interesting. Will Blackman and Jordan Todman is your punt returner, kick returner.
Yeah.
You know, Will Blackman is a guy who has really solidified himself by being able to do a lot. That's a perfect example of it. You put him there until A. Sanders gets back, until Tandon Doss gets back, until something happens there where you don't need him.
You know what? If he performs well early in that role,
sure,
you might keep him there.
Right, and that's one of those that sometimes happens. The thing that sort of made some news this week was when Josh Evans came out at free safety as a third-team guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy who was hurt all through the offseason. He was not on the field OTAs or mini camps. He needs to get back healthy and prove that he shouldn't be in that third slot. And I think he's right now one of those borderline guys to make the roster.
Well, he started eight games last year?
Started eight games. You know, I think he needs to play well during the preseason to solidify himself.
Winston Guy has been playing this whole offseason. Sherrod Martin has
like
some
Sherrod
experience
Martin.
In the league.
Everybody you talk to, Sherrod Martin is a guy, if you say, hey, give me a guy who's impressive, maybe people don't know about. Sherrod Martin's the guy they talk about. Joe Young's the guy they talk about. Nate Stupar's the guy they talk about in that sort of thing. Avery Jones as well. Some of the guys on defense who are young guys who weren't drafted.
Let's get to the defensive line. And, you know, a lot of folks are kind of surprised. Oh, Alualu's second team. But remember, it goes back to the whole cycling guys in and out that we've talked about this whole offseason and into training camp now.
Alualu
started every game in his career. That's going to be the note if he doesn't start week one. But
that,
beyond that, it's just a depth chart. Right?
Well, they signed Red Bryant to be the starter there.
Yeah.
So they signed that position as a good example of what they talked about all offseason. This is not a league, especially the way this team plays defense, where you want four defensive linemen starting and then pat yourself on the back and go into vacation in the offseason saying we feel good about themselves. You know, you want five, six, seven, eight, nine guys who can play defensive line. Alualu, perfect example of that. I don't think it's a surprise that he's second team to people. I think there are some people in this town who are surprised he's going to make the roster. Couldn't be further from the truth. He's a key guy in terms of their top seven, eight, nine guys. As I keep saying to people, it's okay to have good players who don't start. There's no law against that. And he's a guy, Ziggy Hood's a guy, Andre Branch is a guy. Not starters, but all of a sudden you've got a wave of guys on the defensive line. Guess who did that last year? Seahawks.
That's right. They did pretty well last year.
They were okay.
I heard about that.
They were okay.
They won a few ball games. Single game tickets available. Visit Jaguars.com for 3D seat views and more. Also available through Ticketmaster.com or call the Jags ticket office, 633-2000. Great home schedule, of course. The Steelers game, only limited tickets remaining for that one. The Giants game would be pretty much the same already. Dolphins are here. The Browns are here with Manziel. Of course, the divisional game, too. That Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. Let's move to this quarterback situation now, John. Last couple of minutes with you here. You know, throughout this whole time, Chad Henne's been the starter, according to the football folks,
right.
And Bortles is going to be the backup. But now, after 2 weeks of camp, a scrimmage on Saturday where Bortles played well. There's this groundswell of at least folks on Twitter, national media folks saying, hey, start Bortles now. But it's not reality, is it?
Well, and, you know, I've thought a lot about the quarterback situation and talked to a lot of people about it because that's what you do when you've got a rookie quarterback. And since the scrimmage or the mock game the other night, I've tried to figure out, okay, what's different now? You know, the mock game, it's a quarter, it's in a controlled environment, and all of a sudden everybody really wants this kid to start. I think what we've seen is sort of the first signs of this inevitable process, is maybe the best way to put it. He's going to get better and better and better. He's going to look more and more the part. At some point, this story will play out organically where Gus, Dave, the players in the locker room are all sort of nodding to each other going, yep, this is the guy. Well, when they drafted this guy, they're not dumb, the people who run this team. They knew that that process was going to play out. They've been around this league for a while. Well, if they had thought after the first scrimmage, if when this guy looks good in the first scrimmage, we're going to start him. If that had been their mindset, they wouldn't have spent all this time all offseason talking about how this could be a long process. So I think people have to realize they knew that he's going to look good in some scrimmages. He's going to look bad in some preseason games. He's going to look good in some preseason games. So I think what we're seeing this week, the reaction from the fan base, is sort of the first small step in what might turn into an avalanche at some point of play him, play him, play him. There's no quarterback controversy until Dave and Gus decide it. I'm stealing that from one of the readers.
Right.
But that's the truth. So I think it'll play out. It's not time yet. What's positive, what's great, is that all of a sudden on August 6th, we're talking about it and people are going, yeah, this kid looks pretty good. Well, that's which that's a little better than the alternative, JP.
That's very
I'm going to clue you in some football knowledge.
Hey,
that's better
that.
Than not.
Thank
How about
you.
That?
That's well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tyson Alualu was a topic yesterday. You know, a lot of folks, well, he had the scrap with Beatles yesterday, and he's been a little fiery in camp, which
so
I don't know if that's out of character. We've had some camp
right.
fights,
yeah,
John. But he's a guy that you asked Todd Wash yesterday in the hallway, the defensive line coach, and he said, what, scouts, every day they have the scouts
right.
come back and look at tape, and they said he hasn't had a bad day of
right.
camp this year.
Well, and this is a guy who, because of where he was drafted, because of playing through injuries, the fans love to bash, and that's just the way it is. He gets it. Everybody else gets it. You know, he played through for 4 years a lot of times where a lot of guys wouldn't have been on the field. And if it's consistency and desire every day that you want, which is what this coaching staff loves, then it's not surprising that he would be a favorite of this staff. Now, they wanted to upgrade that spot. They wanted Red Bryant. But you're not going to hear these coaches walk around going, yeah, Tyson ain't getting – I mean, this is a guy who comes to play and wants it. Talking to him yesterday in the locker room, his knee, which had microfracture surgery January 2012, feels better and better each year. First year he had that, I think you were here.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday off every day during the regular season.
Absolutely.
And
had to.
Really told me there were times where he wondered if he could go. Well, right now, he said there's no times like that. He, you know, he has Veterans Days off because he's in his fifth year and you have to be smart with the guy. But there's no time where he's getting up in the morning saying, oh, I don't know if I can make it. You know, so that makes sense that he would be playing a little better. And as Gus said, some of the competitiveness is when you feel good out there, you feel like you're playing football, you feel like you're ready to go, you get a little feisty, as you can attest to.
It happens.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're a feisty guy.
Deep down inside.
Sure.
Well, and he said yesterday, yeah, it's not really a make or break year. Let's move out of the way here so we can see the defensive line group. Not really make or break year, but it is. It's his contract year. It's his fourth year. And
it is.
He knows that. He knows that it's an important season for him, certainly for this team, too. And he's always had the heart there to do it. It's not that that needs to be a motivating factor, but there's something to that, too.
See, to me, I look at him, Ziggy Hood, Andre Branch, Ryan Davis. All of a sudden, when we're having conversations about the defensive line, we're trying to figure out what good players can go in there and play, as opposed to if somebody gets hurt, who do you have to go to? Well, that's not a situation that's been the case around here a lot the last 4 or 5 years, where you have just a ton of depth. I think you're starting to see it. You can close your eyes and visualize that at wide receiver in a couple of years. once these guys sort of mature, you can all of a sudden start to say, we got five or six guys, might have to cut somebody good. I don't think they're going to cut anybody really, really good on the defensive line, but you're going to have 8 or 9, 10 guys who you trust going in there. That's going to give them the depth that they talked about all offseason needing.
John, we'll look for your writing a little bit later today. Well done, as always.
Thanks, JP.
And have a good afternoon and good morning here at practice on Wednesday. Jaguars groups, put your group together for the best game day experience in the National Football League at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform. Those spa cabanas are there, of course. Special group ticket pricing. Extensive corporate hospitality. Reserve your group experience today. Jaguars.com/groups. Final few minutes on Jaguars.com live from 2014 training camp. Wednesday practice. Helmets only today. Our thanks to John Osier, J.P. Shadrick with you, and Brian Sexton is here today, of course. How are you there, Brian?
I'm good. How are you?
Week 2 of camp. We haven't had a camp fight yet. I've had plenty with John.
I don't think we're going to have one. My energy level is too high. Like these guys out here only in helmets and shorts today. You can see there's a spring in their step. They like that. It gives them a little bit of chance to recoup and recover, and I get that chance every night. So I'm just glad to be with you.
That's great to have you, of course. And, Brian, you know, a lot of talk about this defense in the middle part of it. Linebackers are banged up a bit. Who's going to play there? Defensive line seems to be shored up. We talked about Tyson and the depth there, the new faces there. But a lot of folks kind of forget about the secondary. You know, a lot of guys are back for a second year. There's, you know, Gratz is back. Ciprian's back for year two. Winston Guy had some time last year. He's
sure
playing strong. Ball now in his second year with this organization. Really a year two secondary, and they should be greatly improved, right?
Well, they were the story last year because the Jaguars spent so much time and attention in the draft and went so young at the position that everybody went, wow, okay, so how good are these guys going to be? And they had their ups and downs, and John Ciprian finished strong, and Dwayne Gratz, when he was healthy, had the big game in Cleveland,
That's right. Finished strong.
I really like this group because of a couple of guys, Gratz and Ciprian in particular, guys who played a lot last year, who are seasoned, who understand more. I really like, as you know, the youngsters, Jeremy Harris and Demetrius McCray. We'll get to see them a lot in the preseason and see exactly how far they've come. But a guy like Alan Ball really stands out. When he signed last year, Gus Bradley said he is one of the most competitive players he has ever been around. And when you talk to the guys in that room, they rise to his level of competitiveness, which is exactly what you want in a pro athlete, but in a defensive back. Because these guys have to be competitive to go one-on-one with some of the best athletes in the game at wide receiver. So I think it's a competitive group. I think it's a talented group. I think it's a smart group. And I'm eager to see them in year two. I think they're a huge story this year.
And as you said, you know, they had to go in year one of that draft, get 5 defensive backs. It's one of the toughest positions to develop in pro football.
And let's not forget Aaron Colvin, who right now is on the physically unable to perform list.
He could be back, though.
He could be back sometime later in the season. But I think more to the point, when you look at where he fits, if you look towards next year, you'd have Colvin. You have Demetrius McCray, who I think will work his way into a starting role. Gratz, Alan Ball could be back. He's only on a 2-year deal. But if Ball doesn't come back and you've got McCray and Colvin starting outside and Gratz, who a lot of people tell me, if he's your nickel, you're really good in the secondary. If you've got those three starting, well, then you've built your future at the position over 2 years as you've rebuilt the roster. If I think, JP, as we talk through this, I think that position group is indicative of where this franchise is. You know, year two should be better, still some things to work through. Maybe the offensive line falls into that category as well.
Brian Sexton with us, Jaguars.com live. Glad you're with us today. Final few minutes from the Florida Blue practice fields. We talked about that receiver position. It's been a topic, of course, this whole offseason. Guys out of the lineup. I think there were 5 out yesterday, if you include Ace Sanders. Has there been a period in franchise history where receiver is as much of a concern as it could be right now?
Well, some would tell you since 2005 when Jimmy left. I mean, they've been trying to bring guys in, and they just haven't been able to do it. I know you're speaking in particular of health. And, no, I really can't think of a time where they have been banged up like this group has been banged up. And you start to have a little concern for Marquise Lee at some point, you know? I mean, with Allen Robinson and Cecil Shorts out there, he's the feature guy, and how much, you know, how much work does he get at this point? Because you've got, what would you have, a backup long snapper? You know,
yeah, Hewlett yesterday was taking snaps at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that hurts. So I've seen Cecil jog
a little bit. Ask him. He knows it hurts, too. He got hit by Winston Guy one time.
Absolutely. I've seen Cecil out there running a little bit, kind of getting back into the groove. And you also have, you know, you've got Allen Robinson who was pulling the sled a little bit yesterday. So, I mean, they're working their way back. But until they get there, this may be a good thing. The focus is on the running game, which, you know, clearly with the quarterback and the receivers, people have let go to the side. But the ability to run the ball this year is going to be critical.
And you got to get Toby Gerhardt on the field at some point, too. And Gus said yesterday that ideally he'd play some this Friday night. But that may or may not be the case.
Well, you know, though, we don't need to see Toby Gerhardt until September if that's what it takes to get him a completely to a level of health. You'd like to get some time, but 5-10 carries, you know, over the first couple of preseason games, probably the most they would give him anyway. So we're going to see a lot of Denard Robinson, which means we're going to see a lot of Terrence Cobb. You know, in the second half of that ball game on Friday night, because you're going to want to work these young guys and still give Denard and Jordan Todman and Storm Johnson. Johnson may not belong on that list yet, but Todman and Robinson, your other veteran runners, you're not going to want to wear them out.
Last thought here on Jaguars.com Live before teamwork begins. You know, yesterday your commentary on Inside the Jaguars was stick to the plan at quarterback. We talked with John about this just a few minutes because the big questions now he gets on the Ozone and fans and all the national media folks are really pushing Bortles ahead, you know, and that's a little premature even still, right?
Well, as I said it yesterday, you know, I mean, he can't get hit out here. He knows it. They know it. That gives him the ability to focus on the read. But now we've got to see him take what he's done on the practice field, and the scrimmage was just the practice field, and translate it to the game field on Sunday. There have been a lot of guys at a lot of different spots over the years who have not been able to take what they do on the practice field and make it happen on the game field. I expect that he will definitely be able to do it, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. He's still in the very early stages of making that transition. When they drafted him, they knew it would take some time, and I haven't seen anything out here yet that says, oh, well, you got to go with him. I haven't seen Chad struggle to that point. I haven't seen him succeed to that point. I'd stick with the plan because, JP, above all else, the roster's still under repair. The offensive line needs time. They signed Chad Henne, right? Gave him a 2-year deal to do the dirty work of getting this team into a more competitive mindset while the offensive line gets built, while the running game gets rebuilt, while the receivers are there, right? Let him do it. It's what he got paid for, and let Blake evolve and develop. It could come, I don't know, midpoint of the season or might not until 2015. I'd stick with the plan.
You see a guy like Chad Henne the other day stopping the 7-on-7 work when Bortles was a quarterback, by the way. The second team group's out there. There's balls on the ground. Receivers aren't making plays. He stopped the whole 7-on-7 drill, and Chad Henne was the one getting on everybody. I don't think we've ever seen that from Chad. I don't know if in his 7-year career he's done something like that.
Well, he's so even-keeled. His nature is so calm, and I think that's really what the Jaguars like about him. The rest of the team, when they see that out-of-character behavior for him, they know, okay, we've got to change something here. And really, that was a great teaching moment for Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Because Bortles is a rookie quarterback, and even though he's a third-round pick and got $13 million to sign, you're dealing with a guy that's still trying to figure out his way in terms of leadership. He knows instinctively that the quarterback's the leader. Chad showed him how to get it done.
Brian Sexton is with us. Final few minutes, about 4 minutes left in this individual period, and then team work and preparation for Tampa Bay will begin. That's when our coverage will end here on Jaguars.com. First preseason game this Friday, first of four, of course. What do you want to see on Friday?
Well, I want to see Mike Brewster at center. And I've been talking about this all week, you know, standing here on the sideline and in various forums. You know, here's a guy who is playing a key position, and it's the first time we've even had to talk about the position since 2003 when Brad Meester made the move from guard to center. So he's a guy who's got great movement, right? I mean, he can get out on the run. He's very, very bright, understands the scheme, but he also is not powerful. And so we're going to have to need to see how he does in situations. He may see Gerald McCoy, who had 9.5 sacks rushing the passer last year for the Buccaneers. If that's the case, how's he do? You know, because all year long he's going to see the best of the best lining up on his nose. Let's see how he makes that transition. I'm looking for that. The line as a group. Obviously, I want to see what kind of pass rush you can create, but those situations are a little here and there. I really want to see the auto linebacker position. I want to see how it's meant to be played. I'd like to see Leroy Reynolds and see how he makes the transition. There's a lot to like about that young man. He arrives to the ball with a violent disposition, which is exactly what you want from linebackers. He's big, he's strong, he's tough. He had that mishap last year and had the 4-game suspension. and he's impressed me with his understanding of the game, his willingness to talk about the game, his mistakes, the things that he does well. I like him a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dakota Watson's the guy we hope to see against his former team.
But you don't know.
Don't know.
You just don't know how he's going to be when he finally gets back on the field. Jaguars Thursday coming up on 1010XL, the Gus Bradley Show 6 to 7 with Gus Bradley and Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday, myself, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, Thursday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That is tomorrow night. And of course, Jaguars game day on Friday. J.P. Shadrick with Brian Sexton, last couple of minutes of Jaguars.com Live. In fact, 2:32 until we are done with our coverage today. Brian, we'll see you on Inside the Jaguars today.
You will?
Oh, we will.
All right. Well,
here we
go.
We're going to see you on Inside
the Jaguars
today.
People are going, really? Couldn't you get Osher back?
And we'll have the Jags of the Roundtable coming up on game day, too. So a lot of content flowing out here.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about. I'm ready to get to the game situations. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about, the backup tight end situation or Mike Brewster at center. Or you got to see it at some point. You've got to be able to have something concreter. Forget concrete. Let's talk food. You like food, right?
I love food.
You got to have a meaty rib to sink your teeth into.
Mm.
Is that more?
It sounds appetizing. Yes.
It sure does. Got to have some things that we can really start talking about. See the improvement, not just talk about the potential improvement.
Ready or not, here it comes.
Here we go.
Well done, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Sexton. I'm J.P. Shadrick. That's it for our coverage right now on Jaguars.com Live. We'll leave you the last minute or so, minute and a half, with a look at individual work. The team period's beginning. We'll be back a little later today with Inside the Jaguars. For now, for everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick on Jaguars.com Live.
Seven and then offense. They got another 28 minutes for a water break.
Okay, so yeah, they're going straight.